great honor to be here this morning. I want to quickly salute the leadership of the JCCF. Here in Federal University, Lafayette. I hear a lot of stories about Lafayette. But we are here finally. And I trust that the Lord will visit us mightily this morning in the name of Jesus. Tonight I would want us to engage the spirit realm experientially. Because sometimes the crisis of the believer is the fact that he is bedeviled with knowledge without experience. When you talk about righteousness, he can give you all the scriptures about righteousness and explain accurately and exegetically the doctrine of righteousness. But if you go close to him, he's been struggling with masturbation for 5 years. He's been living in immorality for 3 years. So his life itself becomes a contradiction. He doesn't understand what is happening. He doesn't like what he's doing. He knows he shouldn't do what he's doing, but he's plagued. Because what he fails to understand is that the experiences we have in time are not born in time. The experiences we have in time, we have them because we are containers that were created with vacuums to handle and to give expression to realities that are born from the realm of the spirit. So the guy understands something cognitively, but he doesn't know the spirit that manipulates the realities of those dimensions that he's interacting with on account of the nature of his frame. So instead of him to dig into the spirit and to understand how to manipulate reality from the realm where the foundation of life dwells, he's in time making noise and doing all the expression. They hail him as what and what, whatever it is called. But when you draw close to his life is a statement that is oblivious of realities born from the realms of the spirit. So this morning we will engage the spirit realm experiential, so that something will break in your soul. That is when I will be permitted to come and speak over your life and over the territory. You have met all the apostles, so that one is not, and I know. The same people we drink from, you too have come from them. So the thing is not about meeting people anymore. The thing is, what are you doing with what you have received? So in order to be sure you will do something with it, we will practice it this morning before we leave this place. For those of you who are already tired, it's a sign of where you are operating from. That's why the devil plays with your life. In case you don't know, a 10-year-old lady who is a witch, this is when she's flying high. And she started flying from 12 midnight. It's around 5 a.m. she will descend. Meanwhile, you came here and it's 2 a.m. already, you are tired. Because the energy that you subscribe from is the energy of the flesh. Right now, ATP is exhausted. That's why you are the way you are. You don't understand the energy that comes from the womb of Zion. You see why we are religious people. So the people in the witchcraft covenant are more spiritual than us. Because they know how to partner with spirits. We talk about spirits, but we don't know how to relate with them. So the experiences that we should gain on account of our interaction with the spirits that formulate our advantage, we don't have them. But a witch of 10 years old knows what to do to conjure a demon, and he can fly on the wings of that demon. And it's around 4 a.m. that she's on the roof of a building and doing like this, and having nightmare. You, that 4 a.m., you are yawning because you have exhausted all the energy. When I began to have crisis in life, I decided that I will not go the way of religion. Because I saw that even people in my family began to die. So I knew that this thing is not language. This thing is reality. And this morning we will trust God to travel a bit deeper. Are you ready this morning? Let's take the second shot. Just in case you have an expectation. I don't know if you have one, but just in case you do, can you lift your hands toward heaven and talk to the Lord? Whisper something to the very heights of Zion, where your advantage is domiciled. Humankind was not designed to live as mortal beings. We are the only creatures that God designed to live like a spirit. When he created the dogs, they were created in the order of fallen animals. They are alive.
had its strength in their bodies. They functioned by biological life. But when God decided to fabricate the human nature and the humankind, the design was strategically formulated in such a way that man will live like a spirit, drawing his strength from that spirit that dwells in the midst of the coals of fire. This morning, can you make demand on heaven that everything that constitutes your advantage, you have looked upon yourself and you have seen the frailty of flesh. The things that you should do, you know you ought to. You have tried, but you have realized that the ability to furnish those realities is not within your context. And this is why you look up to the hills from whence cometh our help. This is where prayer becomes a spiritual economy, beyond religion, beyond cliche. Is a desperate attempt to draw life from where life itself dwells, so that everything that was written concerning you before the foundation of the world can find expression. Can you draw from heaven this morning? Forget about the person around you. You were praying, maybe you were shouting, but now you are looking up to a spirit and trusting that by all means something will come upon you. There are some creators walking into this building. All we need to do this morning is just to alarm, because the armies of Zion have gone ahead of us. I see beings coming clothed with light, walking from this side of the building, and they are walking. There is a procession from heaven. All you need to do is just to align. It's just to align. This morning is not a night of power. It's a time of alignment. Your dimensions will open because there is a river. He said there is a river that flows from the throne that maketh glad the city of God. You need to align. You need to align. Focus on heaven. Forget about the preacher. Something is already happening. There's a movement in heaven. Listen. There's a recruitment campaign already ongoing. If you are distracted this morning, you'll be amazed. Because God is not out to showcase a man this morning. God is out to raise an army. You are looking forward to see an apostle. God is raising an army. And as I speak right now, there are 7 ladies, listen, that are already implicated into the intercessory ministry, because God wants to raise Deborahs. Women that have the power to command the heavens. Churches in the spirit. Churches. They can move the heavens. As they speak, even the stars in their courses will back the armies of Zion. And as I speak, dear Holy Spirit, the ones you are anointing this morning, let your hand begin to touch them. The Deborah generation, arise from Latvia. These ones are seasoned intercessors. They will stand on the altar and they will defy the energy of flesh by their vocal cords. Their voices will rise like trumpets in the heights of Zion. Darkness is about to be disgraced. Hey, Alabaras Kevido Saranatea. Hey, Lamanu Asusuhu Hata. Hele Kasizo Rakapayas. There's a light hovering in the choir here. See, some of you, these ladies here, you are part of what was spoken, but alignment is lacking. When people struggle, it's a body. Lord, show mercy. Let that flame come again. There are some people that missed out a while ago. Lord, show mercy. Let the flames come again. Hey, Sabarakatsu. Hey, Latene Tapara. Let the flames come again. Flames of fire. He said, and I saw one of the seraphims, and he carried the coals of fire. Let the flames. Listen. I saw a quick vision now. And I saw a young man, and in his right hand there is a star.
And I began to inquire of the Lord, what is this? Is this what sorcery or what? Because is this a sorcerer? And God said, no. That is raising a prophet here that will speak breaking news from heaven.
You know, if you study the book of Revelation, the prophets did not just prophesy because they wanted to give or wow people. When the prophet spoke on it, it's because a seal broke in heaven. And every time he spoke, there was a change. The topography of the earth's realm was altered because his utterances were born out of his ability to see into the heavens that scrolls are broken. These ones have the power to break through the realms of the heavens. It's a signature in the spirit. It's a signature. It's a signature. Father, there's a ranking entity among us that is about to rise. A ranking entity that is about to rise. And so, Holy Spirit, the prophet you are anointing this morning, from the left to the right, from the front to the back, let your hand rest upon him. That one that has the power to move the heavens, to see in the realms of the spirit, and to alter the patterns of the constellation. As I stretch my hand, Lord Jesus, let that anointing begin to isolate him. Let the anointing begin to isolate him. Holy Spirit, touch. Listen, the reason some grounds are hard is because alignment is not achieved. The moment you achieve alignment, you realize there's no hard ground anywhere. Find that precursor in the spirit and navigate there, and you'll be amazed what will happen. People are receiving fresh wine because an army is about to rise. An army. You will know that this thing is not a function of decision. This thing is not a function of intelligence. This thing is not a function of human ability. Something will come upon you and you will be changed. When Samuel met Saul, he said that spirit of God will come upon you and your heart will be changed and you will become another man. And he said Samuel, as he journeyed past the sepulchre of Nathanael, he met a company of prophets and the spirit of God came upon him. His heart was changed and he became another man. And Samuel and Saul began to prophesy until people said, is Saul also among the prophets? The ability to prophesy was never there, but something came upon him. Something came upon him. He said, and the hand of God came upon Elijah and he outran the chariot of Ahab, even unto Jezreel. There was no speed with the guy, but something. There's something that comes upon a man and his natural ability are defined. He begins to walk by the energy of life, the energy of the spirit, the ability of the spirit. That is what alignment does. Alignment brings you to a place where you function like a god. There's a fresh wine, a fresh wine.
You want to go ahead and speak to the Lord? I've seen a trumpet. There's a trumpet in the spirit. Hey, listen. Hey. There's a trumpet. I'm seeing a trumpet in the spirit. It's the spirit of prophecy. It's the spirit of prophecy. As we pray now, most of you, your vocal cords will open and you begin to prophesy. Meanwhile, those of you who are spectators, continue. You are doing a great job. By the time you check, it will be 5 a.m. in the morning and we will leave here. Shelele koboro bobosh, helila kaisana tabarsk, kazase sesesao, bororosa sanitalia. Ay. Holy Spirit, omale kazozo rabakali zanatai. River flow, let it turn the river flow in your church once again. Let it turn it ABC. There's a spirit of prophecy hovering here. And so, Holy Spirit, look upon as many vessels as are yielded. This is not about shouting. It's not about volume.
is the supply of the Spirit.
Right now, as you are, if you are yielded, the Spirit will come upon you. Holy Spirit, look upon the vessels that are yielded now, and let that prophetic Spirit begin to alight upon them. Holy Ghost, from the left to the right, from the front to the back, begin to alight upon them. I open your vocal cords. I open your vocal cords. I open your vocal cords. Oh my God, the prophetic waters. The prophetic waters. Omele kososoria. Eya. Help them so they are not injured. Sarina baraka pasisi salagapabash. Rababash, 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 rababash. Soprete fono zorakatia sifrata.
There are many things. Many things are happening at the same time. Many things. There are many things. I just saw a young man now in the spirit. And he bent somewhere. And his whole body was on fire. What was he doing? He was praying. But what he was generating in the spirit were flames of fire. Flames of fire. Flames of fire. Flames of fire. Somebody is being set on fire. Your altar is about to burn. An intercessor, a radical, a wide intercessor, a wide, wide intercessor, like a white ox, is about to be coronated here. Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, who is that one you are setting on fire? Let the flames burn. Let the flames burn. Let the flames burn. That radical intercessor that can shut down altars in darkness. Altars in darkness. I see him challenging darkness, burning with flames. And I give him praise. There are many encounters going on now. Many encounters.
I saw a vision. I saw a young man sat down, and there was a large book like a scroll, in front of him, and he's writing. And he was writing. And he was writing. See, there are many things happening. We don't need to be altering it because we will spend the whole time. An angel will touch you now. Listen. Stop the sound. Thank you. There is somebody that is receiving a scroll in the spirit. This one is being promoted to the company of elders. And in the days of the fullness of his manifestation, he will not give word of knowledge to men. He will give word of knowledge to nations. And he will sit down and write the destinies of nations like Per Elton. He will speak about the things that will befall nations of the world. It's a scroll in the spirit. Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit. You see, we are witnesses in time. So God gives us the privilege to confirm. Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit. One has gone down already. That's another. Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit. Where are these ones that you are handing over scrolls of nations? Scrolls of nations. Bringing them into the company of patriarchs. Holy Spirit, right now, I ask from the left to the right, from the front to the back, touch. Let that anointing rest upon that person. And somebody's 2 feet is about to be set on fire. Where you are standing, suddenly it will look as if you are standing in the midst of coals of fire. What God is doing, this guy is supposed to be in another nation. That's where his destiny is, but there's an altar that have planted him in Africa for him to amount to nothing. So it's fire that will launch you to the nation. Fire, fire. And so, Holy Spirit of God, that one that has been planted and stunted here in Africa, whereas his destiny is in the nations of the world, I set him on fire. Shato, Ubuakatai, Tatalita Toa, Saparata Kobe, Esuna, Tatalitoa, Sopataya. I release that fire. I uproot you from where you are planted, and I launch you to your destination. in the name of Jesus.
Help that brother so he's not injured.
There's a glove just inserted in the hands of somebody. And this, the hand I saw is a female finger. A glove just inserted. As if you are going to operate on somebody. So I know it's the healing anointing. Father, just help the sister quickly so we don't. Father, thank you, Lord. The angel could not even wait. It's already activated. Father, in the name of Jesus, in case there's another one, help her again. Father, in the name of Jesus, in case there's another one, Father, in the name of Jesus, I release that anointing. As you have revealed in the Spirit, as a law enforcement agent, I activate it in time. So let it be written. So let it be established. Coronated intercessor. Go and raise kings. We stand with the testimonies of the patriarchs that have walked through the borders of this land. We stand upon the intercessions of the intercessors that have labored over this land in order to bear the move of God. We align with the prophecies of the fathers that have gone forth over this territory in order to create a spiritual atmosphere for the move of God to find expression. We stand with the covenants that have gone into the foundation of this land by the sacrifices of the fathers and on the strength of all that have been done in righteousness. We make a decree tonight that the window for the move of God will open over this territory in the name of Jesus. Sit down. Let me share the word of God with us. God, I think now it's no longer 25 minutes, it's 15 minutes. Let me share the word of God for 15 minutes because we must pray this one. We must have to pray. I want to show you that it's possible for you to shift in the spirit. I was teaching in the Bible college, and then we had taught, the lecture was from 8 to 6 p.m. So we did the class for more than 10 hours. Because we started a bit early. When we were about rounding up at about 5:30, everybody was interested. As I was talking, some of them were closing up. Now say yes, I deliberately handled it like this because I want to teach you a practical. Because when I teach them in the Bible school, we do practical at the end of every class. Sometimes I show them, I say, okay, let me teach you the mystery of sound. And then we are not doing anything, we just sit down quiet. And I tell the keyboardist, play this chord, play this chord, play this chord. And then the keyboardist begin to play that chord. And then I'm telling them what is happening. After a while, the thing hits the building. Then somebody begins to prophesy. Now nobody spoke, but sound in itself as an energy vibrator has the capacity to transport spirit, because spirit moves on sound. Sound are the carriers of spirit reality. That's why every time you hear that there is a move of the spirit, you hear a sound. Spirit travels on sound vibration. And then this day I wanted to show them how to migrate from the energy of the flesh to the energy of the spirit. So when they were exhausted, I taught them. I said, tongues are not vocabularies for intimidating the devil. That is part of it. But tongues primarily are transport mediums that carry a mortal man to the realm of the divine. That his mortal frailties can be swallowed up by the immortal possibilities that are locked up in God. That's why the Bible says that wait upon the Lord, they mount up with wings like the eagles. Meanwhile, some people pray in tongues. The more they pray, the more they become weak. So I told them to focus and not to pray loud, just to focus. And I told them as they begin to pray, they will notice that they will begin to zero into their spirit. Before now, when they pray, they are floating everywhere. They sound everywhere.
but as they settle in on God, they will zero into their spirit. And the more they pray, the farther they will enter their spirit. Until a point will come, even if somebody speaks and they hear it, it will be like the person is speaking from many thousand kilometers away, because they are entering deep. And after a while, they will break into the waters that are locked up in their heart, and they will begin to experience God in another dimension. And as they began to pray, nobody heard the other person. Everybody was just praying. After 5 minutes, you hear somebody will scream, and the power of God will throw the person somewhere, because we decided to shut down all of the flesh. Somebody's here. No. What we do is sponsored by spirits. We are only participators. So it's important we allow the spirits that make these things happen to take the blame. Elohim Adonai. Elohim Adonai. Meanwhile, everything that happened a few moments ago was just me taking advantage of what Shadrach downloaded from heaven. So, Philip Cephas. It was what Philip Cephas downloaded, and time did not allow him. That's what when I came. This is what Jesus meant when he said, others have labored, you have entered into their labor. So, it's what he downloaded that we just came to bask in. But now I need to teach us the word of God a bit, and then Obey will come and download another one. This morning, me, I don't have work. Just to give a few perspectives. The people that will bring down the dimensions of heaven, don't you see that they are both wearing black? In the name of Jesus. I want to explain certain eternal principles to us this morning that we don't just need to know about, but we need to practice. Apostle Aroma, who happens to be my father in the Lord, he has taught us and he has emphasized again and again that practice is superior to learning. Most times the reason we have so much problem is we know so much but we practice so little. So even what we know itself becomes a body. So when there is crisis, we are looking for one thing to pick from the memory bank. Meanwhile, what is attacking us is coming from the womb of the spirit. So when we exhaust everything we have in our head, then we become weary and broken. But every time we practice, we press into the spirit realm. We are making demand. Even if we don't know exactly how to enter, the law of consistency itself will awaken a spirit that will lead us there. So I want to show you some things this morning that you need to practice in order to become strong. I know Cephas have done justice to the scripture, but I will still read it again. I remove just one light from there. We'll dwell on it for some time, and then we will come and pray. When I saw your team, I think there are not too many scriptures that bear that thing. Isaiah 40 verse 28 to 31. Let's read that scripture. The burden that came to the heart of Shadrach Peters can be isolated from that scripture. Good morning. He said, hast thou not heard? Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainted not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint.
You see, when the prophet was trying to explain to us the potency of the spiritual strategy and economy of waiting, it was important for him to bring us a contrast between two entities that were extremes of themselves. So he began by taking his reference from God, and he did not just mention the name of God. He went down to give us the credentials of the personality he was talking about. And he needed to do a thorough job just in case you have not heard about God. He said, have you not known? Just in case you have not known, I want to explain. What he wanted to explain to us was not God. It's not the doctrine of God he was trying to explain. Neither was he trying to explain the doctrine of man. He was trying to reveal to us the potency of the act of waiting. But the only way he could communicate the powers that are locked up in that spiritual enterprise of waiting was to bring to us a contrast between two entities that were not in any way matched to themselves. One of the entities was at the lowest ebb, and the other was at the highest, the zenith of all the possibilities in which strength could be defined. He said, have you not known, have you not heard, has it not been said to you that the everlasting God — he didn't just call God, the first thing he did is that he invoked his everlasting dimensions to let you know that this God is before beginning and after end, he will still exist. So the personality I want to talk to you about is one that time has no power to deplete his essence. He's not just a God. If he invoked the name God alone, that would have been sufficient. But he needed to invoke to you the everlasting dimension of God, so that in case you want to check this God, at any point you communicate him, his essence is the way it is. You can't increase it, you can't reduce it. And he said, this everlasting God, he now said he is the creator of the ends of the earth. As the creator, he was exposing us to a dimension of God's superlative powers and ability. You know, the first time God was introduced in the Bible, he was introduced as a creator. That's the Elohimistic dimension of God. There are two major dimensions of God that reveal his power and his might. The first dimension of God revealed in scripture as touching his power and might is his Elohimistic dimension. And that dimension of power is the ability of God to fabricate all things from nothing. So he has the power to bring into existence things that never exist before, a reality that cannot be found in any plane or within the context of any entity. And the second dimension of God's power that was revealed in scripture is his Jehovahistic dimension. The Jehovahistic dimension of God reveals his right and authority to demand anything he wants to demand from creation. That's sovereignty. As you are now, if you tear your shirt, I don't have the powers to say why, because it's your shirt. But if I invoke the Jehovahistic dimension, even though your tongue is your tongue, you don't have the right to touch it, because I own it. The Elohimistic dimension reveals God as the creator of your tongue, so you owe all credit to him. The Jehovahistic dimension reveals him as having authority over your tongue, even though it's in your possession. That is why the money in your bank account now that you work for 30 days to earn belongs to God. Because it's Jehovah. Because it's Jehovah. No. Even this suit you are wearing belongs to him. Meanwhile, if we check carefully, the money you used to buy this suit, maybe you went and labored somewhere for 30 days and saved meticulously before you were able to raise money to buy this suit. But as Jehovah is the owner. And on the strength of that, he can judge you for manipulating or mutilating this suit. So you can say, my body is my own, so I can do anything I want. If you do anything you want with your body, Jehovah will come and he will judge you and he will be right. That's another dimension of power. It's a dimension of power that reveals his authority. The first dimension of power reveals his might. The second dimension of power reveals his authority. That was why when God was revealing himself to Moses, when he entered into eternity past to see how God fabricated the Israel, the first dimension God revealed was the Elohim. So Moses saw him design the whole world from nothing. He just stood and he said, let there be light. And there was light. He said, let the light, oh my God. I wonder what Moses was going through when he was seeing that power. You know, when you read this thing, sometimes you read it in a hurry. Imagine if your eyes open and then you began to see from the plains of a mountain. And then you saw a being that stood nowhere, because you couldn't isolate where he was standing. Because creation itself had no existence. So you don't know where he's standing, because he said in the beginning, where was God standing when he created heavens and earth? That one, Moses' understanding was unfruitful. So there's no way he could write it. He was seeing, but he didn't know what he was seeing. So the first thing that revelation did to him was to reveal to him that he's a mortal man. The being you are interacting with is operating in a plane where you cannot judge him cognitively. So there are certain things you will see, but you don't know them. And then you saw a vision. They say, what did you see? There is no word to articulate it, because you enter into a realm of intelligence that is beyond everything you were taught. Your mind can't crystallize it and you can't express it cognitively. So Moses just said in the beginning, God created. We didn't bother to tell us where was God in the beginning when there was no heaven or earth. Because the being was operating from a realm that was beyond vacuum. He was operating from a realm that was beyond time. He stood in the eternities that were within himself, in the community of the Godhead. And the dimension of himself that he revealed to him was his power to bring eternity out of nothing. So suddenly, Moses was seeing this creature, and all of a sudden he saw a limitless expanse, and he saw heaven, he saw earth. How that happened, he didn't know. And then this being carried him million years into another dimension. And then he saw that suddenly the earth he saw was now without form. And the earth was void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And then this being that everything came out of began to walk inside what he created. His brain must have knocked at that time. Imagine that I bring a balloon out of myself. And then you saw me bring a balloon out of myself. Obviously, I'm bigger than the balloon. And then the next second, you saw me walking inside the balloon. You will just say no. Then you will faint. When you wake up, you continue the vision. And he saw all of a sudden the earth was without form and void. And darkness was upon the face of the deep. And then this being stood. After he woke out of the waters, he now said, let there be light. And light showed up from nowhere. I don't know how Moses did not faint. But whatever happened to Moses on that mountain gave him the right to become an immortal being. That was why when Moses walked among men, he was no longer a mortal man. The curse that Jacob, one of the patriarchs of Israel, placed on Reuben. When Moses came down from the mountain, he said, let Reuben live. At that time, see where he was operating from, only gods dwell there. That's why in Deuteronomy chapter 33, from verse 1, the Bible said, Moses, he stood upon the mountains of Paran, and he saw the Lord descending with 10,000 of his saints to judge. That is what will happen at the end of time when earth is accomplished. The same vision that Enoch saw 7 generations after Adam. So Moses walked through from the beginning to the end. The life you are living now in your 75 years or 120 years, that you say, oh boy, I'll be old man. Moses lived from the beginning to the end by prophetic powers. Moses knew what happened before the beginning, and Moses journeyed through time and went to the end. So Moses, if you ask Moses, he can tell you the story of your life. He saw the beginning, he saw the end by prophet. You see why we don't even know anything about the prophetic. We think prophetic is the common thing. We don't know what the prophetic is. If they ask Moses those days, who is Shadrach and Abednego, they will tell you that Shadrach came from here and here. You ask him, who is my Gorobo? He will tell you, my Gorobo came from Benue City. Then you say, what is Benue? Because the word Benue would not have existed in that generation. But because of prophetic powers, he entered into the past, he entered into the future. But that's not my emphasis. He saw God displayed so much might and power, and the revelation of God that was revealed was the Elohim. So God was the creator of all things. And you know that as advanced as science is, science has not been able to create any living thing, not even a blade of grass. Science cannot create a blade of grass. That's to reveal to you the difference between the Elohim and everything in creation. The day science creates a blade of grass, that time science would have migrated to eternity. And then when man fell and did what he wanted to do with his body, then another dimension was invoked. That's the first time the word Jehovah Elohim was used. And then he came to judge her. The guy taught her, "Is it not my body?" You know, we are like that. It's my mouth. I will say what I want to say. You don't know Jehovah. They taught you in Bible school that God is Lord. That's all you heard. You didn't hear well. But the prophet wanted to communicate to us. Listen, you know, when we talk about the subject of prayer, people don't know what prayer is. They think prayer is just to come and ask God for bread and wine. This creation is gathered together because of the incense that rises from earth. The day prayer ends in this world, the world will be destroyed. Have you not heard? He invoked the powers of the Creator. So that in case you understand what he's talking about, compared to man, you will know that there is no basis of comparison. Because this Creator, he said he's the everlasting God. And according to his constitution, he doesn't know how to faint. He doesn't know how to be weary. And then he now came back to another dimension and he began to explain man. He now said, but among men, the greatest and the strongest of men is the youth. He said, but even the youth will faint. That means everything in the realm of man, the best in the realm of man, cannot compare to the realm of God. He said, the best among men is the youth. He said, but the youth will faint and the young men will utterly fall. Because according to the design of man, the moment he loses contact with the dimension of the divine, he is bound to deplete and to faint. He said, but there is a strategy in the spirit that if that weak man is able to apply, something will happen to him and his frailty will be swallowed up. So he said, the man that is destined to faint and to fall utterly, if only he subscribed to the technology of waiting, something will happen to him that even himself will not understand. He said, he that wait upon the Lord, they shall mount up with wings like the eagles. Something will happen to that man. This immortal God that has no comparison among men, the moment a man begins to wait on God, he said there is something that happens to that man, and that man ascends to the height of a God. And he said the man will run, he will not faint, he will walk, he will not be weary. What is that technology that makes a man become a God? It is the strategy of waiting. So it reveals to us that prayer is deeper than making demand for heaven. Prayer is an infrastructure put together by God's intelligence to make the mortal man a God of earth. He said, they that wait upon the Lord, they shall mount up with wings like the eagles. Then they will run. When they run, instead of utterly falling as men, when they run, they will begin to run like a God. They will run, they will not faint. It was God alone that the Bible said does not faint. He said, but when the man waits, when he begins to run, instead of fainting, which is the destiny of a man, when he begins to run, then you see a God. That is why you see somebody comes and he speaks and then spirits obey him. Then you can understand what is happening. He has waited. When he does what a normal man does, his results are different. What happened? He has waited. So the technology of living the supernatural on earth, the Bible was said it is fabricated in the intelligence of waiting. This is where prayer becomes the deepest spiritual transaction that is possible in time. They that wait upon the Lord, they will mount up with wings like the eagles. They will run, they will not be weary. They will walk, they will not faint. But I thought that the record that was in time was that, have you not heard? Has it not been said to you that the everlasting God fainted not, neither is he weary? According to the record that was available to man, the only personality that doesn't faint or is weary was God. How come it's now possible for man to operate like a God because a technology has been introduced, the technology of waiting. So when we are talking about waiting, we are talking about a strategy of the spirit of making you to walk in the greatest potential of your life. The only way a man can walk according to the writings of ordination that was written concerning him before the foundation of the world is by waiting upon the Lord. When a man begins to wait upon the Lord, in a short while, he becomes like a god. The things he was struggling with, that he had gone from one end of the earth to the other looking for solution. What he doesn't understand is that the solution is already wired into a spiritual technology waiting. So the guy thought his challenge was masturbation. He thought his challenge was poverty. His challenge is not masturbation. His challenge is that he doesn't know how to wait. Because masturbation is a normal thing for men. Poverty is a normal thing for men. Lack is a normal thing for men. Sin is a normal thing for men because man is fallen. So if you want to find out what your true challenge is to look upon the prescription that was given to humankind, giving him the capacity to be like a god. And the only way that capacity can be realized is by waiting. The reason you see a lot of people backward and languishing in sin is because that operation of the spirit is no longer found in our operations. Waiting upon the Lord. The crisis of your life has one root. It's not the devil. The devil is not so powerful. If Jesus comes to this world and is hung on the cross, died and resurrected, and the devil is still ruling over us, then it means the devil is supposed to be the most powerful entity on earth. The devil is not so powerful. The problem is that man has refused to take advantage of the things that are available to him. He said, they that wait upon the Lord, they will mount up with wings. There is a place you travel into when you begin to wait upon the Lord, that you will find out that your walls can cause the moon to stand. There's a place you can travel to in God that you will find out that your walls can cause cancer to deplete. You didn't touch the person. He came with cancer. They flew him in from India. All you need to say was is to be healed. And then in the eyes of everybody, cancer deplete. You are not a man, you are a God. But the technology is what? They that wait upon the Lord. The reason we are where we are is because we have refused to wait. The road that we follow to travel into places of power and authority with spirit is a part of waiting. Everything that Jesus paid for and give and has given to us as a promise can only be realized if we learn the art of waiting. You can study the whole scripture and memorize it. You will never enter into experience. The scriptures come alive only in the presence of God. A man who cannot wait cannot understand the scripture. He will do business with it in his mind, but he will not have to change the circumstance because it is in the presence that the scriptures are activated. Jesus was speaking to people directly, and they were living in sin, they were living in unbelief. That's what you will call a rhema word. You heard him talk vocally. So even rhema words are not powerful unless the spirit comes upon it and admits it. They walked with Jesus every day. He was talking to them. He didn't change the story. Until the rhema, the spirit comes upon the rhema. So when Jesus wanted to depart, the Bible said, he blew upon them. Open ye their understanding that they may understand the scripture. So everything they were hearing were letters in their head. And those things they were hearing, they didn't hear it by reading it. Jesus talked it to them. But it didn't change their story. They were dead in their head until the spirit came upon it. The moment the spirit came upon it, the guys went out and they became champions. They that wait upon the Lord. Most of you here are aware that God wants to use you. You will wait until when you check your head in the mirror, you now see white hair everywhere. Your hair will be gray. Then you will go and calm down. You may have told everybody you are an apostle to the nations. You are a prophet. It's when you become 70 years that you will discover that no, you don't become a prophet because God told you. You become a prophet because you master the art of waiting. Because an angel can appear to you now and say, Shadrach, you are going to the nations of the world. And then you go and tell all your friends, we be the nations of the world. And then you neglect the act of waiting. The next time we check you out, you will be 75 years. So maybe you will go to the nations with your crutches or walking aid. Day that wait upon the Lord. This morning, I didn't even come to pray to you. You have heard a lot of messages. The problem is that you have not practiced them. That's why I told you we will pray this morning. Because a lot don't understand what waiting means. They think it's just to come to God and check time. Boy, this way I remain 30 minutes. I come. On the check, they just send one text missing. Waiting upon the Lord is first of all a realization that you are a mortal man and you is no value. So you come to lay yourself on the altar of sacrifice. Because you have evaluated yourself, you discover that if it is based on yourself and all you have, you can't amount to anything. So you came to God to receive an exchange. So waiting upon the Lord is the most desperate spiritual point. A man coming and holding on to the horn of the altar and saying, I will not go until you exchange my weakness for your strength. That kind of prayer is not a prayer you pray in the hurry. It's not a prayer you pray absent-mindedly. You will be there until your weaknesses are literally exchanged. The prayer doesn't end until you see God in yourself. It's just like the blacksmith that works on the silver. He will keep burning that silver until he can see his image in that silver. The job has not ended. So you will see him tending the fire. So you may begin. It doesn't stop after 30 minutes. You will do it until you sense an energy. You know you have migrated. And then that point comes when the next time you open your eyes, you thought you were walking like this. But the next time you open your eyes, you are at the end of that door there. You know you are no longer in your physical geography. You have migrated. The problem you were praying for, you ascend until you can't remember there was a problem. Heaven, you are seeing things that are beyond. That's where you can come down. Somebody say, I woke up yesterday, God said I should bring this to you. And then he hands you money and it's exactly your house rent. Men who don't wait don't see wonders. When you tell them about the supernatural, it's like a story. That's why you come for a meeting and say, God is touching somebody. They are looking. They want to see how God touched me. He's talking to them. You say, an angel of the Lord is here. Some, they are hearing for the first time. Some people still see angels. They will tell you. Do people still see angels? Are you sure it's not a lie? When a liar, you are far from the civilization of heaven. You are on earth. You are actually on earth. The things you call impossibility, there are men that are walking in it every day of their lives. And the reason is not because they are special. The reason is because they have mastered the art of waiting. That's why when you go to wait, the first thing that fights you are the things that your soul is connected to in time. Because waiting is actually detachment from time and connecting to eternity. It's a place where you stay or you break into the God zone. If you have not broken into the God zone, you have not waited. Maybe you went to speak in tongues. And you can still speak in tongues and fornicate. Maybe you went to speak in tongues and you can still speak in tongues and be afraid. But if you stay there until you detach from this realm and enter the God zone, from the spirit of fornication itself, we know that there is no place to dwell. It will vanish. Isaiah was prophesying and was enjoying himself. But his mouth was full of wounds. He didn't know. He He was operating by the gift and the anointing. But when he decided to do serious business, and he broke into the God zone, and he encountered God, the first thing that happened to him was that Seraphim carried a pole and cut his tongue. When the man enters the God zone, his weaknesses are swallowed up. So every time you check your life and there is still a weakness, know that you are not living from the plane of the God zone. It is possible to establish it in your bedroom. And if you don't enter the God zone, your purpose will never be fulfilled. Because purpose was not designed to be fulfilled on earth. Purpose was designed to be fulfilled in Eden. So if you don't know how to carry Eden everywhere you go, you will struggle in this world and you will never fulfill purpose. That's why Jesus, the Bible said, he was on earth. But walking in Nazareth, the Bible said, the Son of Man which is in heaven. That's what Jesus said about himself. So everywhere Jesus went, he carried the atmosphere of heaven. So when he speaks, it's the possibilities of heaven that takes place. We don't understand the powers of waiting. Every time a man builds the culture of waiting, what he does is that he builds a radar around himself. He walks under open heaven. And that is why when he speaks, heaven responds. Because even though he's walking on earth, he's actually standing in heaven. Elijah, Ahab, he was standing in the palace, but he said, before God, whom I stand. So the secret of wonder is where you are standing in the spirit. And where you are standing is determined by the quality of your waiting. A man who cannot wait. This is why you see a lot of people not fulfilling purpose. God has spoken to them. They've had encounters. Angels have appeared to them. But it never manifests. Because what they don't know is that the realm where that encounter came from, they must carry it every day of their life in order to be able to manifest the possibilities of that encounter. Christians don't wait, so they depart from Eden. You will watch as an apostle, everybody in your family will die, and you will be renowned with your title as an apostle. They that wait upon the Lord. They that wait upon the Lord. I was telling you this morning. I said, when Jesus said you are the salt of the earth, he was not talking to all believers. You saw him speaking to everybody, but he was actually talking to the believers that will subject themselves to the way of prayer. Because when we run through the whole scripture, the only way the earth is preserved is by prayer. This is why the Bible will say, by his stripes you are healed, but not all believers are healed. The guy that is healed or walks in divine health is the guy that subjects himself to understand the economy of healing. So that scripture is for the man that will understand the economy. It seems as if he's spoken to everybody, but not everybody experiences it. You shall receive power after the Holy Ghost is come upon you. All of us have the Holy Ghost. How many people are manifesting power? There's a protocol of power. So when he says you shall receive power, he's talking to the man that will subject himself to the protocol of power. Because God speaks, the laws of the realm will validate it. You are the salt of the earth. You check the whole scripture. And every generation that the earth was preserved, it was preserved from the incense that rose from the altars of men of prayer. Adam and his wife were driven from the garden. And after they left the garden of Eden, they were still in Eden, but they had gone out of the ambience of God in the garden. And they began to raise children. And evil entered their camp. And Cain slew Abel. And God brought the judgment upon Cain. And Cain went and built another city on the east side of Eden, the city of Nod. And there was no hope for the earth anymore, because evil was growing. Until a man killed, and he said, if Cain will be avenged, if Abel will be avenged sevenfold, he will be avenged 70 times sevenfold. Because his fame around the world, evil was reigning in the world. There was no possibility for the promise of God to find expression anymore. And in Genesis chapter 4, the Bible said, God came unto Adam, set in the place of Abel that Cain slew, and he said, set. Gave birth to Enos, and he said, from there
the men begin to call on the name of the Lord. That was when salvation came back to this world. God was in heaven. Adam was now giving birth, but there was no intervention from heaven on what men began to call upon the name of the Lord. That was how men like Enoch were born. The earth plundered into darkness again. And the Bible said, God said, my soul will not continually strive with men. And God sentenced earth to judgment, to be destroyed. And then suddenly, we heard again in Genesis chapter 6, he said, and Noah found favor with God. Noah became the preserver of the earth. You will think Noah was just trolling and he found favor. It was when Noah came out from the ark in Genesis chapter 8 verse 20 that we knew what Noah did to find favor. He was the man of the altar. The Bible said when he came out, he erected an altar to the Lord, and there he sacrificed all the clean beasts. So it was Noah's intercession that brought him to the place of favor. And if Noah was not an intercessor, the earth would have crumbled. Because God can destroy this earth and start again. He told Moses, I will destroy all of them in Exodus 32. Because he is suffering. So the earth was preserved by a sort called Noah. And the reason Noah was able to preserve his earth, because he was a man of waters. The earth plunged into darkness again, and Nimrod rose and began to build the Tower of Babel. And God scattered the language of humankind and set them apart. There was no purpose, because there was no way man could come together to formulate any purpose anymore, until a man would speak from the halls of the Chaldees by the name Abraham. When Abraham entered the promised land, then Abraham again, we saw in Genesis chapter 12 from verse 6 that Abraham built an altar to the God that appeared to him. So Abraham was also a man of the altar. When God says you are the salt of the earth, he is talking about the intercessors, not just the believers. A man who cannot pray have no business with preserving the earth well. He doesn't even know how the earth works, because the earth is manipulated by thrones in the spirit. And until you journey in the path of intercession, you cannot make contact with throne. When we preach the God, we save souls. But when we pray, we go beyond saving souls. We save the earth. That's why in 2 Chronicles 7 verse 14, he said, my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray. I will hear them from heaven, and I will come down and I will heal their land. The creation that is in bondage, when men of prayer rise, they begin to deliver creation. That's why I say intercession is superior to preaching. Intercession does not only save souls, it saves the whole of creation. Did you not notice that men like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, men of prayer, when they were cast into fire, suddenly fire lost the ability to burn? Because in eternity, fire is not supposed to burn. Fire is supposed to purify. It's only in hell that fire burns. So when you touch fire on earth and fire upon, it's because earth is now a prototype of Hades. But these men, because of prayer, they have the ability to bring the protocol of creation back to the original design. So even when they were cast into fire, fire could not burn them. It only purified them. Because the role of fire in heaven is to purify. That's why the throne of God dwells in the midst of the coals of fire. And the seraphims that are the beams of holiness, they touch the tongue of a prophet and he was purified. The preservers of the earth are the intercessors among men. Daniel was cast into the lion's den. According to the mutilated protocol of earth, lions now devour men as food. But when Daniel entered the lion's den, because he came with an atmosphere of Eden, the lion became fierce. Because when the new Jerusalem is restored, the lion will eat grass with the sheep. They restore creation. Men of prayer are the source of the earth. Any believer who doesn't pray, that portion of prophecy does not include him. You may think it's something you will argue. You cannot manipulate the powers of creation unless you go deal with the truths that regulate the powers that be. Daniel in Babylon, everybody had fallen because they were manipulated by a prince of Persia. Only Daniel Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were standing. The Bible said in Daniel chapter 6 from verse 10 that every day he prayed 3 times as his custom was. Yeah. The reason Israel had hope of coming out of Babylon was because there was a sort in that personality called Daniel. Every time his incense rose to heaven, he gave God authority to manipulate creation again. Because spirits cannot intervene in the affairs of creation unless human entities partner with them. That's why they wanted to destroy Jericho. The angel of the Lord had come. His sword was drawn out, but he could not do anything. The word of the Lord had already been given. He could not do anything. Until the intercessor was moving around and surveying the land, and he saw the angel of the Lord. And the guy said, no, I didn't come for you. I came according to the word of the Lord, but there's no human partnership. The moment Joshua partnered with him, the powers of heaven began to move. And he got the strategy to destroy Jericho. Jericho sank because a man knew how to preserve the heritage of God on the earth. The reason it looks as if darkness is growing is because there are no waiters anymore. The intercessors, the number of intercessors are depleting. The earth is losing potency because the number of intercessors are depleting. Meanwhile, sorcerers are increasing every day. Every day they are increasing. But the intercessor, we have many preachers. They gather 3 messages from the best preachers and they coin out their own message and they come to preach. But they cannot touch any throne in the territory. Only men of prayer can move the principality so that the heavens can open. The sons of the earth are the waiters before the throne of God. The whole Gentile community was doomed. Even though the cross paid for the Gentiles, there was no access point for God to reach the Gentiles until a sword appeared. And he said, Cornelius, your prayers and your thanksgiving have risen up to heaven as a memorial on account of that salvation came. There is no preservation for the earth unless men pray alive second. Prayer is deeper than asking God for bread and wine. It's a strategy of God for keeping his purpose within the borderline of human existence so that which is in heaven can become that which is obtainable on the earth. That's why when Jesus prayed, he said, I will be done in heaven as it is on the earth. Prayer is the conduit that downloads heavenly dimensions to the earth realm. Every time we fail to pray, we give up the earth for manipulation of the heights of the heavens by principalities and powers. The reason heaven can always be seen on earth is because intercessors are standing. One intercessor was superior to all the preachers in Colossus. He said in Colossians 4:12, Epaphras is one of you. He's like the pastors, he's like the preachers. But the job description of Epaphras is such that he hides somewhere at the back of the cave and he ensures that everyone in Colossus stands. So the reason the preaching is working, because Epaphras is one of you, a born servant of Christ, laboring fervently for you in prayers that you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. Prayer is superior to preaching. The reason men's church of Colossus was because Epaphras was praying. Paul said, my little children, of whom I travail again in prayers until Christ be formed. So Paul knew that the reason his gospel was potent was because prayer was the molecule of his gospel. So he forms Christ in the heart of the people before he went to speak to them. But now we carry concordance and we gather scriptures until we form exegetical outlay, and then we come to talk English. No prayer. No prayer. When the apostles waited and tarried, as they stepped out, Peter came and just told them the story of what they themselves did. They pricked in their hearts. The sons of the earth are the men of prayer. You don't have prayer, you limit God in your life. You don't have prayer, you limit God in your family. You don't have prayer, you limit God in your world. I tell people all the time, the reason I'm preaching is because I love God. I discovered God later and began to love him.
But the reason I'm preaching is because I was sentenced to the microphone by the prayers of my mother. Before I made the decision, she chose it for me. Hope you know the Bible said, never I paid tithes in the loins of Abraham. So Abraham had authority to determine the direction that he may go. I was compelled to see, I was sentenced to this microphone. For many years, I walk on the street, I say, I will never preach the gospel. But my mother had covenanted. So it was difficult. I struggled. The more I struggled, the more I came closer. Until I held this thing, and it will never go into my hand. Why? Prayer. Prayer. The Bible said in Revelation 5:8, he said, the prayers of the saints ascend to heaven as altars, and they are stored in golden fires. So every time God wants to spend on earth, he fetches from the prayer of the intercessors. They are the source of the earth. A robbery can be going on now at the end of the town. The angels don't have right to move because the earth God has given to the sons of men. But because Philip Cephas stood on the mountain 5 weeks ago and said, let the land be preserved, that prayer had gone to heaven as autumn, and it has been stored in golden fires. He was not praying for God, give me a car. He kept the land and the integrity of the borders of this realm in order. So because of that economy of prayer, God can fetch from the prayers of Philip Cephas and mobilize angels to bring intervention. You may not know, but when we get to heaven and you think the preachers are the mightiest of men, then you will see great men that the Bible said the earth is not worthy for their names to be called. Those ones, they were locked up at the backsides of the mountain. Their duty was to raise incense to heaven. To raise incense. So any generation that has hope with God is because prayers are stored up in heaven in golden fires by the intercessors that will deny themselves. Samuel said, I will not sin against God by not praying for you. He preserved the integrity of Israel by his prayer. And the Bible says in the days of Samuel, the hand of God was perpetually against the Philistine. Perpetually. The prayer of Samuel was as potent as the power of a garrison. The guy alone as an intercessor was more potent than an army. Because men of prayer are the salt of the earth. The reason Satan comes to manipulate your family is because your altar is dead. Your altar is dead. The day you put fire on that altar, a new government is set in place. That is when you become the salt of your family. You may be there and say, I'm a believer. Nothing will happen here. Every 3 years, a hawk will come and pick somebody. You are not a salt until your altar come alive. That is when before anything happens. When they come, then they discover that a gatekeeper is standing. A flaming sword will be moving like this. The guy tries to come as usual and he goes within 2 weeks because a man of prayer have listened. I thought it was enough to be a believer. People were dying in my family. Until God came and began to teach me the way of priesthood. Of priesthood. Sometimes I pray with my money. I pray with you don't know what prayer is. They that wait upon the Lord. There is no man of God. I doubt if there is any prominent man of God in this country that have not sown seed. Not because I need something. I plug into their covenants. I plug into their sacrifices. I plug into their labors. So things work for me. If you check me in the spirit realm, you will be amazed how I'm doing. You don't know the covenants that back me up. There are mysteries concocted by prayer and acts of priesthood. They that wait upon the Lord. A point will come when every time they invoke the name of your family, fire will appear. Because it is your altar that will speak. Your altar. Every time they call the neighbor's family, they see an altar. They see an altar. Because you have become a deity. They that wait upon the Lord, they renew their strength. They mount up with wings like the eagles. We have too many talkers. We know how to talk to men, but we don't know how to talk to spirits. The sorts of the earth, where are they? There are more believers in this world now than there has ever been. Why is darkness growing? Because there are less intercessors. The percentage of intercessors are going down. And in case you don't know, the place where the greatest warfare in the church
is in the camp of the intercessors. The devil will choose to bring one intercessor down than to bring down 10 preachers. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 4:3, he said, if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, whom the God of this world have blinded. So even while we are preaching the gospel, it's possible for the God of this world to still blind the heart of a man. Meanwhile, before Paul made that utterance, in verse 2 of that scripture, Paul gave the criteria of a preacher. This is not somebody who just stepped out to go and preach because he heard a story. He said, we have not handled the word of God with craftiness and deceit. Our conscience is pure before all men. So he has satisfied the requirement of an accurate preacher. Yet, he said, it's possible for our gospel to be hid because the God of this world can blind the heart of a man. The only time when you can pierce through that dark cloud is when you bring the sword of prayer. Because when you begin to pray, you can move and immobilize the God of this world. That was why he didn't bother himself to preach to the Israelites. He knew the challenge in Babylon. He went on his knees. And after 21 days, the prince of Persia moved. At that point, anything you say, the people hear. There will be darkness in your family. And if you don't cop it, even yourself, darkness will overtake you. The only way we become salt of the earth is by stirring the fire on the altar. That's why he said in Leviticus 6:12, he said the fire on the altar must not be put out. The priest must put oil on it every morning. It's an everyday enterprise. Prayer is not an act, it's a life. Is a move of the spirit, and when that move is stirred in the heart of a man, that man begins to do business in the heavens. The reason everything you know about God you were told is because you have not traveled beyond time. The pathway beyond time is the pathway of prayer. When you pray, a point comes when you leave the clouds of earth and you enter into the assembly of the immortals. And then you will see where the destinies of men are fabricated. You will see where the prophecies about nations are spoken. So before you enter a land, you know the powers that be. You know what to utter. You know the gospel that that land is. You are not coming to preach because you are a student of a preacher in the US. You have traveled to heaven. You know the spirit that rules that land. And you know the gospel that can enter the heart of those people. That's why we all have different messages. Because we come from different locations in the spirit. We are sent to different locations in time. But men have no understanding. Prayer is lacking. This is why we are weak. We don't know how to renew our strength. We are weak. The guy finished preaching and then the next thing he falls on the lap of a woman. We are weak. We talk from our brain. And the more we talk, the more we become weak. Meanwhile, the elders of old, they will sit down for 3 months and they are explaining the scripture and praying. The more they do, the more they are figuring. What do they know? Moses will climb the mountain and he's there for 40 days and 40 nights. And when he came down, you thought he was running down to it. And then he came down, he saw the children of Israel in iniquity. He broke the covenant. And then he went on his face flat and he was there for another 40 days and 40 nights. Is that a man? He knows something you don't know. They that wait upon the Lord, they renew their strength. You want to walk like a spirit on earth? The key is waiting. I know the power of the word of God. I am a student of the Lord. But it is the Holy Ghost that leads the world. This is why we travel to the spirit. Else we will become theologians. There are many Muslim theologians that are Bible scholars. They don't believe in Jesus. They know the Bible more than you, but they have no revelation into light. They can't touch the life of God. They that wait upon the Lord. Sometimes, as you begin to pray, then you come into a clan. See, you don't know that prayer itself is an adventure. I have met many generals in the spirit. Some of them died before I was born. Some of them, you meet them before you come back and study about them on Wikipedia. You don't know the advantages that we have in the spirit. I was telling them in Abuja yesterday,
I may be here. I may never have met with Wigglesworth. But I'm going for a healing meeting and I pray to a point where God brings me to where Smith Wigglesworth operates from. Then as I go to that meeting, the dimension that God will begin to speak for me. I don't have his mantle, but I stood where he stands in the spirit. And then I begin to operate like Wigglesworth. I can come for a meeting today and you see me floating like a Bosmarubiosa. I entered where he was standing in the spirit. So when I come out, that dimension come out with me. So you can be many people in one lifetime because you journeyed into the womb of prayer. They see you, they see your boy. This guy is my son. You don't know him, he doesn't know you. But in the spirit, you are in a clan. You are in a clan. And in that clan, when you check that assembly, you may find Paul. You may find Watchman Nee. You may find Apostle Arum side. Then you stood there behind them. Because you were entered by prayer. So when you open your mouth to begin to talk, you open scriptures and wisdom flows through you. Because by prayer you joined an assembly in heaven. You came into a clan. So when you talk with the spirit that was upon Paul, the life of Watchman Nee breaks out of you. And the wisdom of Arum side breaks through your vocal cords. And people marvel. They say, where did he study this thing? If you want to study like that in time, you may begin to talk at 90. But by prayer, you enter into the foundation of that wisdom. And when you speak wisdom. You speak wisdom because you came into an assembly. You may enter the spirit and then you enter somewhere. And then you saw. Hey, you saw Alexander Dowie. You saw Rupert Etta. You saw Katrin Kuma. You saw Benny Hinn. You saw Christo Yakilome. And then you found yourself. And then when you came out to do like this, people are healed. Cancers disappear. You didn't receive their mantle. You entered their clan in the spirit. It's a possibility. You that people say you are nobody. You were praying and suddenly you saw Catherine Kuma. And when you came out with her image. So God can give you the strength of a patriarch that had gone to heaven 50 years before you were born. He said in Songs of Solomon chapter 4 verse 4. He said, at the ear of the mountain, he said, dwells the mantles of many warriors. Their mantles, when they leave this world, they leave their mantles behind in the spirit. But men of prayer are the only ones that can travel there. There's a place in the spirit where I can enter. By prayer he entered there. So when he comes among men, he can travel through space. He's so, so even the devil look at you and be wonder, who is this? Because the Bible said in Genesis, he said, to reveal the manipulation of God to principalities and powers. Instead of you surprised at the wickedness of darkness, you can come with wisdom and mystery that even Satan will be marveled. Who is this? Because when you come, what he doesn't know is that you are coming with the strength of a clan. The same with Wigglesworth that defeated 70 years ago. He does with Wigglesworth are gone, so we will rest. But by prayer, you enter a place that time has no value. So you came back with Wigglesworth. And the devil is wanting. I thought with Wigglesworth is dead. No, he's dead, but his reality is in the spirit. And I crystallized it by prayer. They that wait upon the Lord. They say the altar in your family have lasted for 500 years. They don't know the technology of prayer. By prayer, you can enter into the place where Moses himself stood. And then when you come, the same way Moses judged Pharaoh and God came down in Exodus 12:12 to judge the gods of Egypt, you may come back like the Moses of your day. And then the same power will hit the foundation of your family because you journeyed into the spirit. And you enter the clan of Moses. They that wait upon the Lord. This is why God doesn't waste spiritual resources. Because the spirit realm is pregnant with spiritual possibilities. But men don't travel there. If you begin to explore the spirit realm, you will become a wonder among men. They that wait. I don't struggle for mantles. I don't waste my time with anything. If God finds me faithful and trust the mantle, thank God. I'm open to it. But there are too many possibilities available to me. If only I can pray. That's why Jesus came and said, men ought to pray. Men ought
Men ought. Men ought. You that is crying, God help me, God help me. You don't know that in the spirit, you were standing behind Deborah. If only you knew that you are the Deborah of your generation. A woman that can go to war and then the stars fighting from their causes. How did she sustain so much power that the stars will support her in battle? And then that same woman is very cautious. We think prayer is not give me prayer that one. That's the last, the least thing prayer can do for you. Prayer can literally make you become like God. They that wait upon the Lord, they mount up with wings like the eagles. Like the eagles. You can soar into heights in Zion, and then your eyes can see deep matters that cannot be isolated by human wisdom. Because by prayer you entered. You enter. That's where a man will be coming down from the mountain and his face will shine like the sun. What Moses entered into when he came down from that mountain was a reality that was in the future. Because only Jesus was the being that should be transfigured. Because in this mortal body, it was Jesus that had the power to wear the garment of heaven. For Moses entered into the spirit and he touched the reality of Jesus. That's why he said, a prophet like unto me will not send to him. By prayer, he had entered into the future and he experienced what transfiguration looks like. And when he was coming down from the mountain, the Bible said, himself knew nothing. He said, he whispered that his face shone like the sun. He was not aware, but he had touched something. So at some point, you don't even know. They tell you there's a problem with this family. You say there cannot be any problem. And because you said that, everything will run away. Because you are talking from a plane of authority. A plane. That thing alone can make you become a god. You know when God came to the garden, he didn't bother that Adam has seen. He said, where are thou? Because you are not with your eyes, you have seen. You have lost your place of authority. May God help us to stand. Hey! To help us. May God help us to stand. You don't know who you are. I tell you the truth. Your certificates have put a value on you. Men have put a value on you. Your parents have put a value on you. They don't know you. They thought John the Baptist would become like a priest so that he would walk after his father Zacharias. But the guy went into the wilderness. He said, no. What my spirit is telling me, I can't see it in my father. What my spirit is telling me, I looked at the Sanhedrin, nobody, I can't see it. And the only way to find it was to wander into the wilderness because he needed to find the heavens. And as he was checking, he now stumbled on the voice of Isaiah the prophet. 700 years before he was born, he said, the voice will cry in the wilderness. And then he found himself, he said, this is me. That dimension was not in the Sanhedrin because that prophecy had lasted 700 years before his time. The only way he could isolate that dimension was to travel back into the spirit where that prophecy came from. And when he entered the archive of heaven, that prophecy had his name written on it. And then he came and he said, who are you? He said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness. You don't know who you are until you do business in the waters. Prayer is the source of the earth and the end of prayer. You want your family to receive salvation, the king's prayer. You will pray for 30 years and you make a pocket. And if you are not careful, you will lose your own faith. You want to deal with them, first of all, arrest the throne and lose their family. I didn't preach to anybody in my family. Today, all of them are born again. 2 years ago, I came to my brother and sister. The morning devotion. All of you stand up. Give your life to Christ now. This is what you do. Believe that he died and he rose for your sins. Do you believe it? They say yes. Now you will confess. If you believe, then confess. They now confess. The whole family. I call any of them now, sir. Apostle, sir. 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 I am second to the last one. But there is an opportunity in the spirit. If you enter by prayer, you will move. The same man that was killing people in my family,
months ago, he struck my dad. He said he's prostrate. Prostrate, something. I said, that's what the doctors are saying. We will go and check everything. And in the midnight, I rolled with my friend and went to bed. And then, before a vision, where the man stood again and said, he will deal with the man. While he was in that vision, me, I saw an angel came into the room. And the angel was clothed with the sun. And I knew it was judgment. But I didn't know what to judge. So when we began to check, how far? He told me what I said, okay, now I know why I saw what I saw. We released judgment. The man went down after 3 days. He was in his house. He's dead. Okay. And 2 months later, he didn't just die. He confessed with his mouth that he killed my elder brother 3 years before. Meanwhile, I was still an apostle. But I didn't believe my husband. So my brother's life was in my hand. But I lost him. So it's not the devil that took him. I lost him. He judged. He confessed with his mouth. Decayed. And he died. Because gatekeepers are sleeping. Warriors are lying down in the day of battle. We don't know our advantage. They that wait. Today, before anything happens, I see it in the spirit. And if I don't see it, it doesn't happen. In the natural man, this spirit. You don't know who you are. Say you are the sword. You are the light of the world, a city set upon the hill that cannot be hid. But how do you ascend the mountains of God when you are sleeping every day? It's not enough to read the Bible and come back to experience. The business is the business of true.
Hallelujah. Glory to the Lamb. Glory to the Father.
You are seated on the throne.
Hallelujah. Glory to the Lamb. Glory to the Father.
You are seated on the throne. It's time for you to focus and talk to heaven.
Glory to the Lamb. Glory to the Father.
You are seated on the throne.
You don't know who you are. You think you are a student in Federal University Lafayette. You are deceived. I came to tell you that you are a prophet. I came to tell you that you are a ruler among men. I came to tell you that you are an ambassador of heaven. Hallelujah. Glory to the Lamb. Glory to the Father.
You are seated on the throne.
You know, we finished the business of power before I preach so that we will pray. You need to discover who you are in the spirit. Moses found out who he was when he journeyed to the backside of the desert and he came to Horeb, the mountain of God. You will travel until you find who you are. You will find who you are and you will carry the atmosphere of where you come from in order to rule in this realm.
Hallelujah.
Glory to the Lamb. Glory to the Father. We have to pray now. I have been able to isolate 3 things this morning. The first is that you receive the strength of God when you wait. The second is that you become the salt of the earth when you wait. And the third is that you find who you are and you connect with your clan when you pray. That's when you can rule in this world. Else the thrones in darkness will manipulate your destiny. You can be a prophet sent from heaven, but you will be a harlot among men. The Bible said there was a man sent from God whose name was John.
The only reason John was a man sent from God in time was because he was in the wilderness until the day of his showing forth. Many who are harlots and dressing in bombshell today, if you check them out in heaven, they are prophets. Many masturbators on earth today, if you check them out in heaven, they are apostles. But they came to earth and they thrones in darkness altered the patterns and the dictates of ordination concerning their lives. That's why when God sees a man, he doesn't address him by who he is on earth. He addresses him by his stature in heaven. He came to Gideon. He said, go in this thy might. A warrior in heaven was a fearful puppet on earth. He said, go in this thy might, thou mighty man of valor. A mighty man of valor can be a fearful man on earth, unless he knows how to migrate from earth to the heights of the heavens. Ah, how pathetic that a seer can become a fornicator on earth. Meanwhile, he's supposed to be the one that tells us the things that happen in heaven when we see manifestations on earth. The decipherer of the breaking of scrolls in heaven is on earth a harlot, because we don't know the powers of waiting. The powers of waiting. The powers of waiting.
They are sprinkling fire. Intercessors, it's your time. Don't be a spectator. Lift your hands and focus on the Lord. Fire. Correlations. Help that sister running now so she doesn't injure herself. They are sprinkling fire. The Lord wants to anoint intercessors that will keep government over the land. Government. There are some of you that the Holy Ghost is already talking to your heart. Come and join them with you. Intercessors over the land. It's the time of your coronation. This is a moment in the spirit. If this window closes, I'm done. God invites intercessors over this city. Intercessors. Come. I'm looking for people that will donate 1 hour of prayer every day so long as you are on this land. Come out quickly. Ordinations.
Sharabasabina Tarakai.
Men that we donate a quarter of 1 hour, so long as you are on this land on a daily basis, raising incense to heaven for the land, so that the borders will be loose, the bondage of corruption will be broken.
Ale kaila tani zarute nade, aila kila sometae, aila tere ila taya, ila marina sataila, aila kobele sateita, ili kaya tini mani kazu zane sana.
I'm seeing some beings sprinkling fire. I've just seen fire. Dropping. Fire. Fire is being sprinkled. And so, Holy Ghost, look upon them that has come. I ask that let the fire begin to rest on all of them. The fire. It's not by power. It's not by might. It's by the Spirit.
And so Holy Ghost, flames of fire.
God, servant, help me.
Flames of fire. It's a moment. It's a moment. It's a moment. Flames of fire. Flames of fire. Flames, flames. Please, God, servant. Flames of fire. Flames of fire. Oh my God, flames, flames of fire, flames of fire, and your life will never remain the same again. The Lord apprehends you for His glory. Jehovah, Jehovah apprehends you. The Lord apprehends you for His glory. Flames, flames of fire. Listen, you are receiving activation of gifts of the Spirit. You will live here, you will find yourself speaking in word, giving words of knowledge, forensic words of knowledge. Most of you will lay hands on the sick, they will recover instantly because you have given your life on the altar. So the Holy Ghost will break upon you in strange dimensions. Gifts of the Spirit. Gifts of the Spirit. I want to give you a sign. I'll give you three signs to help your faith. In the name of Jesus. Listen to me. You will enter into strange dimensions of the move of the Spirit. Right now, somebody will scream with a loud voice. A lady will scream now. It's a sign of what God wants to do. It's a sign. Somebody's hand. Listen, somebody's right hand will begin to burn now, as we are starting. As if there is a coal put in your hand. It's a sign. 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 Thank you, Lord Jesus. Don't be distracted. Thank you, Lord Jesus. The Lord brings a visitation to your families and to this land. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. God is equipping you. That's what's going on now. God is equipping you. Refuse to be distracted. God is equipping you. There's a massive equipping going on. You don't need to look like it to be it. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. There's a download going on in your spirit right now. Equip it, equip it, equip it. Most of you have been schooled in the College of Angels.
to teach your hands to fight and your fingers to war. Your hands to fight and your fingers to war. Equip it, equip it. Warriors, arise. Warriors. Warriors. Mereceve savi savash. Equip it. Some of you are receiving the teaching on the decorum of the tongue. Because there is an investment of authority on your tongue. God is equipping you now. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Some of you, demonic strongholds that have prevented you from entering into the fullness of your ordination is breaking. It's breaking. Those influences are breaking off your soul now. Because you have been separated unto the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I shatter it. Influences over the soul. Controlling influences. Break over them. Controlling influences. Controlling influences. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. As you go back home, most of you will have progressive and continuous encounters. It's not even about what happens in the meeting. We are not too fascinated about what goes on. It's the transformation you enjoy hereafter that is the impact of the meeting. You are implicated for something eternal. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. So many things happening at the same time. So many things. Somebody's eyes is also being activated now. Open visions. You are entering the realm of open visions. The realm of open visions. We banish darkness from your life. We banish darkness from your borders. In the name of Jesus, we ask that the gates of this city open. A new order of government comes to your territory. Where is Philip Cephas? We need these guys to follow them at least 2-3 times so that they can be taught and encouraged. Because in the name of Jesus Christ, listen, the impact of this meeting is beyond what happens here. When a man commits his life to a spirit, that spirit commits itself to that man. The spirit watches over you and your business and your life. Jesus sent out 70 men that committed themselves to him. And they came back celebrating that demons bowed to them. Jesus said they should not celebrate that the spirits were subject to them, but that they should celebrate because their names have been written in heaven. When you come out like this, God opens a book. And that book becomes a memorial. He said, they that love the Lord speak one to another. And the Lord came unto them. And he wrote a book for them as in the movie. My brother will have at least 2 or 3 contacts with you. Not to create a fellowship out of this, that's not the idea. But to strengthen your heart and to give you the wisdom that is required to keep your lamp burning. This decision you have made is one of the greatest decisions you made in your life. It will make you relevant in this life and in the life to come. You have just stepped out of the confines of selfishness. You have donated your life for the fortress of the counsel and the will of God in your territory. Not many come to this point in life. And I speak over your lives and destiny that every form of darkness rules away from your life. Every influence of the devil. Every influence of the devil in your life and in your family is hereby banished in the name of Jesus. We speak a fresh order of light and illumination in this realm, in this territory, in the name of Jesus.